The headlines: Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi tells the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit that Tehran seeks to expand its ties with Central Asian countries. Muslim pilgrims gather in the Iraqi city of Karbala to mark the end of the 40-day mourning period for Imam Hussein, who was martyred during the 7th century Battle of Karbala. And also, the British pound drops to its lowest level against the dollar in 37 years amid growing indications that the country is heading for a prolonged recession. Hello and welcome, everybody. Iran's president has been addressing the summit of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization in Uzbekistan, where he highlighted the capacity of the alliance to offset Washington's unilateralism.
In recent years, political and economic multilateralism has come under serious threat. The U.S. government is trying to impose its demands and domestic law on the international system and sovereign countries through outright bullying and coercion. Washington's unilateralism is undoubtedly aimed at hampering independent countries' progress. The Shanghai Cooperation Organization needs to adopt new solutions and take specific measures, such as sustainable trade among its member states, to counter Washington's cruel sanctions and its unilateralism.
The Iranian president also censured the U.S. for pursuing wrong policies in other countries, especially in Asia. He noted that Washington's years-long presence in Afghanistan brought nothing but terrorism and insecurity to the country. Raisi said international law should not be enforced by the countries that spread terrorism. Elsewhere in his remarks, Raisi underlined Iran's potentials in transit and energy sectors to further develop ties among the bloc's members. He also noted that Tehran seeks to boost ties with Central Asian countries. Uzbekistan's president also told the 22nd SEO summit that a memorandum on Iran's full accession to the regional body would be signed on Thursday. Iran signed an SEO memorandum of commitments and agreements on Wednesday. We asked journalist and political commentator Said Mohsen Abbas about the significance of Iran's full membership in the Shanghai Cooperation Organization.
Well, I think it goes hand in hand with the general movement of a multipolar world and the rise of the Eurasian axis, you know, China and Russia being, of course, the primary movers within that. But actually, the Islamic Republic of Iran is absolutely pivotal to that process. So there are huge changes. These are absolutely cataclysmic movements, because all of it is part of the shift away from US and Atlantic powers' hegemony. They basically, it quite clearly, you can hear from the diplomatic language, even in the diplomatic language, it's clear that China is saying exactly the same thing as Russia and the Iranians have said for many, many years, that actually you can't trust entirely the Americans, and it's unacceptable the way they're behaving in terms of the economic sanctions they impose not only on Iran, but they do it to China and they do it to Russia and whoever else doesn't fall in line. So I think this increases the speed with which the Eurasian axis is going to increasingly act as a pivot.
Also, Chinese President Xi Jinping has addressed the Shanghai Cooperation Organization summit as well, where he called for reshaping the international order. Xi said members of the organization must work together to promote the development of the international order in a more just and rational direction. The Russian president also addressed the summit taking place in Uzbekistan's city of Samarkand. Vladimir Putin hailed what he called new centers of power in the world. He also expressed hope that the Shanghai Cooperation Organization's member states increase efforts to boost economic cooperation. The organization is regarded as the largest regional bloc in the world. It has 8 official members, namely China, Russia, India, Pakistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan. Iran is expected to become a full member next year. Well, millions of Muslims have converged on the Iraqi holy city of Karbala as the mourning period for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein culminates with the Arba'in ceremonies. The pilgrims have come together at Imam Hussein's holy shrine in Karbala. Most of them have been traveling on foot for days to reach the compound for Arba'in processions. This is the first time since 2020 that the pilgrimage is being held without any COVID restrictions. Authorities in Karbala say exceptionally high numbers of pilgrims have already traveled to the city. From Iran alone, over 3 million pilgrims have joined the ceremonies. Arbaeen is one of the largest religious congregations in the world. It marks 40 days after Ashura, the martyrdom anniversary of the third Shia Imam and the Prophet Muhammad's grandson, who was martyred along with 72 of his companions during the Battle of Karbala in 680 AD. Elsewhere, Lebanon is reeling from a worsening economic meltdown, prompting desperate measures. Now people are robbing banks to access their own money frozen in the system. A total of 7 banks have been held up since Wednesday. Financial institutions have locked most depositors out of their savings following government restrictions on how much money people can withdraw from their own accounts. Lebanon has been gripped by an economic crisis since 2019. The Lebanese pound has since lost 95% of its value. This has plunged 3/4 of its population into poverty. Lebanon is in need of a bailout. However, the International Monetary Fund says it wants to see economic reforms before it releases billions of dollars in loans and aid. Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah blames U.S. sanctions for the country's worst economic crisis. Well, our very own Mariam Saleh is joining us now from the Lebanese capital, Beirut, with more. Mariam, please bring us up to speed on all the latest details regarding this situation. It's not even being called an economic crisis anymore. It's being called an economic meltdown. What can you share with us?
Yes, it is definitely a meltdown. We're coming to near what we can call a catastrophe, actually. We're seeing the high numbers of poverty. We're seeing how people have actually lost patience. Most of the depositors, those who do have savings in the banks, and it is a big number, a big amount of people who do have that. We're talking about businessmen, we're talking about merchants, we're talking about people who are even making savings in order to keep them for their retirement and so on, their pension money. So all of those people are in desperate need of that money. You see, for example, from those people who were going to the bank, some of them using plastic guns, actually, to try to create that fear and force the banks to pay them their money. We had one man who has 7 children, and we are just starting the school year, and there's so much challenges for the people, so many payments that people need. And we also see that this person, for example, owns a lot of people because he has a business, he has his own business and so on. We had another person who needed to pay for her sister's cancer hospitalization, another person who had his father in hospital as well. So we have all of these people who need their money, and they do have that money in the banks, but they're not allowed to take that money because this is what we're talking about. This is a sort of haircut that we are mentioning, we are seeing, and we are also seeing that these banks have enforced this law on the people. Now, if you take a look at what experts are saying, many experts are saying that the banking sector had always been part of the deep state in Lebanon. It is a deep state that had enforced a certain economic policy in the country where even politicians did not have much to say. Of course, the government does get paid central bank. The central bank is a very in the essence of that banking sector. However, they had what we call their autonomy. They can rule things as they wish when it comes to the financial and monetary issues. And what we saw in 2019 was vast amounts of U.S. dollars being transferred outside the country, and that led to a higher price of the dollar. Now the Lebanese lira has lost more than 95% of its value. And now we also see the parliament calling for tripling the price of tripling the salaries of governmental workers. That will put Lebanon in an even bigger crisis. So what we see here is actually, as you mentioned, it is a meltdown. It is more than just a crisis, and Lebanon definitely needs to be bailed out. And that bailout is, of course, waiting for conditions from the International Monetary Fund, because they have enforced this and Lebanon's government has accepted it. We have another solution, or another option, if we may say, which Hezbollah Secretary General has stressed, is to work towards drilling for natural resources, trying to get Lebanon its money from its own resources. And of course, Sayyid Nasrallah has accused the United States of stopping Lebanon from drilling in its own waters, even in terrestrial resources as well. So what we saw also concerning the maritime borders, those negotiations could probably lead to a sort of light at the end of the tunnel for Lebanon. If that happens, then this could probably reflect on the banking sector. But for now, we're going to see the banks closed for at least half of the next week, but we still see the depositors as well warning and threatening that they will continue to do the same as they did today in order to force the banks to pay them their own money.
Thanks, Alan. Mariam Saleh joining us from the Lebanese capital, Beirut. Well, critics of the monarchy have gathered in the Welsh city of Cardiff to protest against the accession of the new king following his mother's death. Protesters held up signs reading, "Not my king," and "Democracy now," as Charles III paid a visit to the city. They questioned his hereditary accession, or rather ascension, to the throne, arguing that the country's new head of state was being imposed on people without their consent. Police arrested a number of protesters. Anti-monarchy protests have been held all across the UK, including the city of Edinburgh and the capital, London. This is while thousands of people are also remembering Queen Elizabeth II following her death last week. She's currently lying in state in London's ancient Westminster Hall before her state funeral on Monday. Well, the British pound has dropped to its lowest level against the dollar in 37 years amid signs that a recession is already underway in the country. The sterling fell more than 1% to under $1.14. It also hit a new record low against the euro as well. That comes as retail sales dropped more than expected in August amid rising prices and a cost of living crisis. The decline has added to fears that the British economy is already in recession. The economy grew more slowly than expected in July. It had already contracted by 0.1%. In the second quarter, the inflation there is at a 40-year high of more than 10%. Economists predicted cash-strapped consumers are expected to further cut back on spending in the next months, aggravating the situation. Well, European countries have been paying more for food and energy bills over the past months, mainly due to the economic fallout of the Ukraine conflict. In fact, official data indicate that Eurozone inflation hit another record high last month. The EU Statistics Office Eurostat confirmed the annual inflation rate in the 19 countries using the euro stood at 9.1% in August. That's a surge of 0.2% from July. The current rate is the highest since the euro was created in 1999. The rise in food and energy prices have exacerbated a cost of living crisis that has hit households and businesses across the Eurozone area. And Europe's still grappling with travel chaos caused by strikes over pay, this time in France. Around 1,000 flights to and from the country were canceled Friday as air traffic controllers stopped working. That caused delays across European airspace, too. France's air traffic controllers union says its members want higher salaries to cope with rising inflation. The union says it's also worried about recruitment as a large number of existing workers will retire in the coming years. Europe has been hit by a summer of strikes that has seen walkouts by workers of different transport services. That comes as the continent is facing record high inflation rates fueled by soaring energy prices. We're now joined by our correspondent, Chris Denhond, who's with us from the French capital, Paris. Chris, give us more details about this strike action being taken by air traffic controllers and the disruptions that it has set, with the ripple effects also affecting other European countries' airspace as well.
Well, the air traffic controls have done a successful strike today because more than 55% of the short and medium haul services were cancelled today, Friday. Also, 10% of the long haul flights have been cancelled. So it has affected especially the flights inside France, but also inside Europe. It's due, as you said, by the record high inflation rates due to rising energy and food prices. And in fact, the workers and their unions, they are demanding that salaries should cope with the rising inflation. Now, Air France company, they promised 5% increase of the salary, but after calculation, the workers and their unions, they said that this is not enough to cope with the inflation, an inflation that is estimated to be between 6 and percent on a yearly basis. So it's an important question, the coping of the salaries with inflation, which is not which is a real problem for most of the people in France and in Europe. There is a second problem. Unions are also worried about recruitment, because a large number of existing workers, they will retire in the coming years and they will not be replaced correctly. Correctly means that the companies are hiring workers, but in not as civil servants or not on a stable base. They are like interim workers with a lack of qualification. For instance, the high inflation rates, the actual economic crisis is affecting not only the transport sector. In the national education, the schoolrooms are overfull, and there is a lack of personnel. The same in the public health sector. There are salaries are bad, a lot of people are burned out, and many people are running away from the public sector to the private sector. So there is not really a consistent policy of the French government to arrange this problem. There are some kinds of arrangements, like there is a decrease of the fuel price at the petrol station from 2.2 euros per liter down to 1.6%. That's one of the very few positive measures taken by the French government, which is also due to the consisting pressure of the Yellow Vest movement, for instance. But generally, there is a very general worrying by the workers, by the popular people, about this increasing inflation. To respond to that, there is a huge day on the 29th of September, end of this month, a national day of mobilization of the private and the public sector against this kind of rising of energy and food prices, and demanding concrete measures from the French government.
All right, thanks a lot, Christian Hahn, joining us from the French capital, Paris. Well, Pakistan is grappling with a surge in cases of waterborne diseases such as dengue fever following recent floods there.
We do not have the exact data, but according to the data that we have, more than 4,000 people are suffering from this. According to the data we're receiving, this tally is increasing by about 150 to 200 patients daily. It is widespread, but we're trying to contain its vector, the mosquito.
The minister said other conditions, including diarrhea, malaria, and skin diseases, are also widespread. The health crisis is adding to the problems of the Pakistani authorities. They've been under pressure to deliver aid to millions of people displaced by the floods. The natural disaster was caused by monsoon rains and melting glaciers, affecting almost 33 million people. Nearly 1,500 have lost their lives. Pakistan has repeatedly called for international help to deal with the aftermath of the floods. That's it with the world news for now. Bye, everybody.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B,
and Iran SATORBAT 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Quran Quest, yes please. Quran Quest, answering your Quranic questions.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. To all our brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are listening to IRIB English Radio Broadcasting from Iran. The program is Quran Quest, where we study the verses of the Quran one by one and extract its teachings with our dear beloved brother Habib. Tomorrow is also the Arba'een of Imam Hussein, 40 days after the martyrdom of our Imam, standing for the religion of his grandfather Rasulullah and killed while innocent and thirsty. Our condolences to you on behalf of the whole team here on IRIB English Radio, and our condolences to you too, Brother Habib, for this event.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I send my condolences to the Islamic Ummah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us and aid us, and hopefully we'll visit the grave of Imam Hussein alayhi salam as soon as possible. And hopefully you guys are listening to us during
from
Karbala,
from the walk in Arba'een, inshallah. It's always important to commemorate and uphold these traditions so that we remember where we're coming from and why we're doing whatever we are doing. It's chapter 77 of the Quran. That's where we are. Let's listen to verses 35 onwards from this chapter, and we'll be back for the discussion. Don't go away.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
هذا يوم لا ينطقون.
This is a day they will not speak.
ولا يؤذن لهم فيعتذرون.
Nor will it be permitted for them to make an excuse.
ويل يومئذ للمكذبين.
Woe that day to the deniers. This is the day of judgment. We will have assembled you and the former peoples. So if you have a plan, then plan against me. Woe that day to the deniers.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest, and you just listened to verses 35 onwards from chapter 77 of the Quran. So, chapter 77, Brother Habib, begins by explaining some of the events that are noteworthy in our life, swearing by this, showing us how weak we are and demonstrating how strong and powerful God subhanahu wa ta'ala is, to remind us that the day of judgment is true. It will happen. And then it describes or it narrates the situation, the feelings, the atmosphere in which the deniers will meet the day of judgment. They see what they have denied. They are in utter horror. They can't do anything. And then there's this smoke, strong smoke coming from what is probably the hell, from a very implying that there's a very vicious fire down there, very huge sparks, and we're beginning to picture the fear, the utter defeat that a person, and regret that such a person is experiencing there. Now, on verse 35, it says that that is the day on which they speak not. They cannot speak at all. Now, let's address this from two sides. One is the horror in which they can't speak. And the second is, don't they have a right to defend themselves?
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Of course, that's a very good question you pointed out to everyone who has a right. It's the day of justice, right? So it's the day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the chance for those who were oppressed to speak about how they were oppressed. And if they have a udhur or an excuse, to show their excuse. That's out of justice, right? Then this verse comes and states, this is the day that they will not speak. And that's normal. There's no contradiction. Why? Because they have nothing to speak. They have no excuses. This is another way of saying they have no excuses. They have nothing to come and say that, oh, we denied because of this or we denied because of that.
Everything is so clear that...
And it was clear for them in the world. What are they going to come and tell to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than lies?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not true excuses. They cannot come and say something. That's the meaning of hada yawmun la yantaqun. This is the day that they will not speak. This is not saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will... So it's not about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala denying them that they're this justice right where they have the chance
they
to
have
excuse.
Nothing to say.
They have nothing to say.
Okay.
Nothing to say. Righteously, as the second verse states, the verse that comes after it, which we'll talk about
we'll
later.
We'll talk about that after the break. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
إن سألتم عن الله فهو رحمن رحيم أنزل الشارع حنيفا رحمة للعالمين رحمة للعالمين.
This is Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio. It's a program that attempts to answer your questions pertaining to the Noble Quran. We'd be delighted to have your comments about the program. Just search Quran Quest on IRIB English Radio.
If you ask me who my God is, on whose name I call, if you ask me who my God is, He's the God of us all, Allah the Merciful. If you ask me what my book is that I hold in my hand, if you ask me what my book is, it's the Holy Quran, the Holy Quran.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. We are on verses 35 and 34 of chapter 77. So on the day of judgment, they will have nothing to say. And that's what is meant by, that is the day on which they speak not. But we also do have like narrations that say that our body parts will speak and testify about us.
Will testify are against they, them. Mm-hmm. That's what the verse that comes after it states, وَلَا يُذَنَ لَهُمْ فَيَعْتَذِرُونَ. Nor are they suffered to put forth excuses, nor will they be permitted to offer any excuses. Mm-hmm. And pretty much it's talking about this part, that they want to talk, they want to defend themselves. It's either that they have nothing to defend with, or if they're going to come and defend,
just excuses.
It's nothing. These excuses are nuts. You know, sometimes the عذرن أقبح من عذرن. عذرن أقبح من ذنب.
It's an insult worse than the sin.
The excuse is worse than the sin.
Sin. Yeah.
Like, for example, why didn't you come to class today? Oh, I forgot. If you said that I fell asleep or something, it would have been much better for you than...
saying, I forgot your class.
Yeah, you forgot your class, mm-hmm. for example. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all just. If they have an excuse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will listen. Mm-hmm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take forward their excuses. And that's the concept of the mustadaf. Mm-hmm. So, وَلِلَّهِ الْحُجَّةُ الْبَالِغَةُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the overpowering excuses or the overpowering judgment. In this meaning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever they say, for example, the tafsir from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, which states that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, why didn't you do? They will say, we had no knowledge.
We didn't know.
We didn't know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them, why didn't you learn?
Mm-hmm. Another question is that maybe this is a stage one, because I remember once we were talking and we said that it could be referring to a particular stage, because the Day of Judgment is comprised of several stages. Maybe this is one stage when they've done whatever they wanted to talk to or ever. This is a particular stage when they're not allowed to talk. They just have to head silently towards hell.
Look, it is possible. But the thing is that we need more, you know,
evidence
for that. Because this is something that most of the Mufassirins fall into, unfortunately. And that is, when it comes to understanding the verses, it comes up as probabilities, possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Is it something that really is meant by the verses? Is it something that's going to happen? And that's what, and that's why where we need the words of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, for them themselves to explain the meaning of this verse.
Okay, thank you very much. It's time for our next break, but we'll be right back to further the discussion. Don't go away.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. This is Quran Quest. And so we've reached verse 37 of chapter 77. It says, woo that day to the deniers. It's mentioning this for, I believe, the sixth time. It's keeping reminding them that, be careful, deniers. It's going to be a terrible day for you. This is the day of division. We have gathered you and... This is the day of division. We have gathered you and those of old. This is a place, like the Day of Judgment is a place where all humanity since its creation to the end are gathered in one place. Has got to be one heck of a scene.
Yeah, it is. And you're going to be witnessing all these, you know, judgments, all the people you will see who will enter hell, who will enter heaven, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who corrupted before, you know, various stories and various situations. And this is the thing, that we're all one. We're all human beings. We're all mankind. And really, when I read this verse, it doesn't matter what your skin is, where you're from, where you come from, your ethnicity, your family members' history, what you've accomplished in this world. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, what's going to be important is, how are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when we say, how are you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's obligations are not only obligations for oneself, but there are also society obligations. The way, have you paid the money rights? Have you given respect to your neighbors? Have you given respect to your elders? Have you given respect to your parents? Have you given respect to your children?
Have you lived in a way that people would feel safe about you?
Yeah, exactly. And how, you know, just being a true human being. Being a true human being? The servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. where all your every purpose of your life is to reach the satisfaction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is for entering heaven, staying away from hell, or just for the sake because you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of worship, like the saying of Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So thus, it's going to be a very scary day. And on that day, like the verse that comes after it states, فَإِن كَانَ لَكُمْ كَيْدٌ فَكِيدُونَ.
So if you have a scheme, then scheme against me.
And this is really the meaning of Maliki Yawm al-Din.
The owner of the Day of Judgment.
You have any power, you have any strength, you see yourself worthy in this, as you saw yourself in this world, you saw yourself worthy of worship, come and run away from this day. Can you come and overthrow the true king or not? Where is your power that you were boasting about and were proud about during the day, your days in dunya? Where are they? Come and show me. Let me see. Where are your powers? And it ends with you being humbled, with you being under the rulership of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the rulership of a true, just king. On that day, where you're going to be punished or rewarded.
Sometimes, I mean, I bet we've all met such people. They behave that they kind of want to punish God. They might have like lost someone, a dear one, and now they're in disobedience because they want to punish God.
This is
kind of that. It's like you can't do
it. It belittles them. They can't do it, even if they try and think
that's
that they're doing it.
If you're trying to defeat him,
you want to defeat him by sinning, you're only doing it for bad for yourself.
It's like you're just.
Allah doesn't need your worship. Allah doesn't need your worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to get any harm from you sinning.
Won't benefit.
So at the end of the day, you're just, you know, hurting yourself. And at the end of the day, this is uncertainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is doubt and misconception in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's wisdom, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's laws, these laws of physics, these laws of life. It's no.
Thank you very much, Brother Habib. It's always nice talking to you. And tomorrow, don't forget, is the Arba'een of Imam Hussein, 40 days after his martyrdom. Please do pray for us on this day. We need your prayers. And for those of you who have the honor of taking the Arba'een walk, do not forget us. Our hearts are with you. If you missed this episode, do not worry. You can always download an archive of this episode and all our previous ones from our website. Simply search IRIB English Radio, Quran Quest. For me and the whole team here on IRIB English Radio, iltimas du'a, ma'assalam.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Thank you. log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
In Britain, leaked documents predict crop failure rates of up to 50% as United Kingdom's water companies resist calls to prioritise food production. We are prepared for you an article written by Helena Horton. The piece is titled Mass Crop Failures Expected in England as Farmers Demand Hosepipe Bans. Experts have warned of widespread crop failures across England as charities and farmers criticise water companies for dithering over hosepipe bans despite drought being declared across much of the country. On Friday, 12th of August, Britain's Environment Agency classified 8 of the 14 areas of England as being in a drought. Despite this, water companies including Anglian Water, Southern Water and South West Water have not brought in hosepipe bans. Thames Water said it does not plan to expedite a hosepipe ban expected in the coming days. Leaked documents seen by The Guardian from a meeting of the National Drought Group show concerning figures about the state of farming in England. Half of the potato crop is expected to fail as it cannot be irrigated, and even crops that are usually drought tolerant, such as maize, have been failing. The group was told irrigation options are diminishing with reservoirs being emptied fast and losses of 10 to 50% are expected for crops including carrots, onions, sugar beet, apples and hops. Milk production is also down nationally because of a lack of food for cows and wildfires are putting large areas of farmland at risk. Farmers are deciding whether to drill crops for next year, and there are concerns that many will decide not to, with dire consequences for the 2023 harvest. Cattle and other livestock are expected to be slaughtered early at lower weights, because it is likely that farmers will run out of feed for them in winter. One of the driest areas of England is East Anglia, which is also home to much of England's farming, including more than two-thirds of its sugar beet crop and a third of its potato crop. However, Anglian Water has ruled out a hosepipe ban for this summer, claiming that it has good levels of water in reservoirs. A spokesperson said, Today's declaration of drought across the region we supply serves to underline the seriousness of the situation. But because of the investments that we've made and the support of our customers, we still do not envisage needing a hosepipe ban in our region this summer. But farmers disagree. Tom Bradshaw, the deputy president of the National Farmers Union, NFU, said, "We have members who can't extract irrigation water, but still in East Anglia there is no hosepipe ban. We can't believe that we aren't allowed to irrigate to grow the fruit and vegetables the country needs, but there is no ban on excessive consumer use." He suggested the government should be intervening to make sure that water companies did not part to mitigate the drought, adding, "The Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, or DEFRA, ministers need to prioritise food production. Feeding people is critically important." He noted, "The minister, Steve Double, was on the call recently and we made it clear to him that we need to plan on there being a dry winter and we need to fill our reservoirs or next year's food production could be in the balance. Irrigated vegetables are something a lot of people will be eating. If we don't have irrigation, there will be very low availability of vegetables." Stuart Singleton White from the Angling Trust agreed, saying that chalk streams in East Anglia were facing perhaps irreversible damage due to the dry conditions. Stuart Singleton White said, "It's still not being taken seriously. Take East Anglia, pretty much every chalk stream except the Stiffkey is at exceptionally low levels. They have had next to no rainfall at all and have some of the most agriculture in the country. So need more water for irrigation. Yet for some reason, Anglian Water has not put a hosepipe ban in place, and a drought being announced won't change that. We are in the position where areas classified as in the drought are not putting hosepipe bans in place." Stuart Singleton White has called for a hosepipe ban across the whole drought-stricken region, adding, "There are still a number of water companies in the drought area who claim they have enough water and they don't need to bring in hosepipe bans, but that is just going to confuse customers." He said, "A hosepipe ban across the whole drought region would start to send the right message about us all playing our part to conserve water." The areas under drought measures are Devon and Cornwall, Solent and the South Downs, Kent and South London, Hertfordshire and North London, East Anglia, Thames, Lincolnshire and Northamptonshire, and the East Midlands. The Environment Agency expects a further two areas, that is Yorkshire and West Midlands, will move into drought later in August. The group met earlier this summer to discuss the lack of rainfall and decided to put the country in prolonged dry weather status, the first of four emergency dry weather stages and one step before drought. Now the country has been tipped into that second stage. This means water rationing may take place across the country with fewer barriers for water companies who wish to ban customers from using hosepipes and washing the car with tap water. More severe measures can also be put in place at this stage, including banning the use of sprinklers for cleaning the buildings, vehicles and windows. The group contains representatives from water companies, the Department of Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, or DEFRA, the Environment Agency, the National Farmers Union, NFU, Natural England, CCW, Ofwat, Water UK, and the Drinking Water Inspectorate, as well as Angling Trust and the Rivers Trust. While Previous dry summers have been offset by wet autumns, meaning the worst effects on water supply have not hit. Those present at the meeting were told that that was unlikely to be the case this year, with arid conditions predicted to continue due to climate breakdown. Slides from the Environment Agency say an increased chance of warm conditions through August to October is consistent with an increased westerly flow from warmer than average seas and our warming climate. With a typical northwest, wetter to southeast, drier gradation in rainfall most likely, there are no strong signals for a significant amelioration of current dry conditions. Catherine Sefton, a hydrologist at the UK Centre for Ecology and Hydrology, said, in the southeast of England, the continued dry weather means that many river flows remain notably or exceptionally low, and hydrological forecasts suggest this situation will persist over the next few months. Catherine Sefton said, where river flows are supported by groundwater that recharges during the winter months, the impact of dry weather is reduced, but a continuation of below average rainfall into a second winter would likely result in serious hydrological and environmental drought, with further intensification of water supply restrictions and fish rescues that we are starting to see in the southeast of England. The last time a drought was announced was in 2018, though research has not yet been conducted to determine whether this year's drought was caused by climate breakdown. The dry conditions and extreme heat in 2018 were found by the Meteorological Office to have been made 30 times more likely by climate change. There have been 5 consecutive months of below average rainfall across all geographic regions in England and above average temperatures. River flows, groundwater levels and reservoir stocks all decreased during July. 13 Environmental Agency monitored indicator rivers are at their lowest levels ever recorded, and soil moisture deficit is comparable to that seen at the end of the 1976 drought. Scotland and Wales have similar drought reaction groups, which are also understood to be meeting this summer after drier than usual conditions.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.